You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What is up, goat flippers? It is your host, Lurk. Thank you for checking out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. As you may have realized, this podcast is coming out on a Wednesday. That is because we were a little delayed. If you haven't noticed, Lamb Goat changed over their layout, so we have a new layout for the first time in probably over a decade or something like that. So definitely go over to lambgoat.com and check that out. And on top of that, I am recording this intro during Hurricane Elsa, so that's awesome. Unfortunately, due to the upgrade and changeover of lambgoat.com, I do not have the top stories for last week, but we will continue next episode. Make sure you follow Lamb Goat on social media. Give us a like on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Lamb Goat. Head over to Lamb Goat's YouTube page and make sure you subscribe and hit that alert bell so you're always notified when we release new content. But we upload all of these podcasts in video format plus other Lamb Goat bonus content that we have from the website on our YouTube page. So go ahead and over there and check it out. And also, I am working on getting the podcast page on the new Lamb Goat site up so you will be able to go to Lamb Goat and see all of the podcasts in video and audio formats there. But it might take me a little bit this week to get that going, so just be patient, please. All that being said, I think I'm going to wrap this up so we can get into the goblin metal band Necrogoblicon. So without further ado, let's start the podcast.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no.
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is good, goat flippers? Welcome back to yet another epic episode of the Van Flip Podcast. This week, I am joined by the demon metal band Necrogoblicon, more specifically Scorpion and Goldberg of the group. How are you guys doing, Nick and Alex?
Pretty good.
Doing well.
Do you prefer Nick or Nikki?
I go by Nikki generally, but whichever one makes you more comfortable is fine.
We'll do Nikki. I like to, you know, use proper everything when I'm addressing somebody else. So we'll just go ahead and do that. So Nikki is the lead vocalist. Catching myself. Nikki is the lead vocalist plus a couple other things. And Alex is the lead shredder of the group. I know we don't want to talk about like all the basic ass shit, but I definitely am very curious as to like how the project even got started, as like, because at the time I really wasn't into like that kind of music where it was like more fun, quote unquote, you know what I mean? And I took everything, oh man, fucking, are you lagged up? Damn it.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. Now we're back.
I think we're all good.
Now we're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, I speak with a natural sort of lag. It's not the software. Yeah.
So what I was getting at was I kind of want to go back into the early days of like how this whole project came about.
But no, that was a joke. I'm sorry. Okay.
So yeah, how did this project come about? Because Nikki, you started it with Tim way back when, and Tim's no longer, you know, in the group, so to speak. But what did the idea come from? Because it seems more like of a fun, not so serious kind of approach to music and metal in general.
Definitely. I mean, at that time we were just two friends, you know. I think I was still finishing up high school. He was off at college and he came back to our hometown for summer break. And we were kind of just like the only people who were awake at 3 a.m. talking on AIM every day, you know?
Yep.
So we were buddies. And then he was working on a lot of just metal riffs and shit like that at the time. And he had a different metal band back in Santa Barbara. So he had like this pile of riffs that didn't make it into that project or whatever. And he had said, I really want to use these riffs to make an album and just call it Goblin Island. And this was on AIM. And we both laughed about that so much. We thought it was like the funniest thing ever. So it was like, fuck it, let's actually do that, you know?
Yeah,
just
usually
put it on MySpace.
Usually the jokes end up being inside jokes and then they become inside jokes for so long they become reality.
Outside jokes.
Yeah, it was just like let's just actually make something called Goblin Island because we were both laughing our asses off and that's really all there is to it. And we just put it on MySpace. We didn't have any ambitions for it to become like a real band or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, and how How was the reception of the first couple, you know, couple weeks, months of you guys putting that out into the ether? Like, were you surprised that, you know, it gained any traction, or were you kind of like, it didn't do what you wanted and just kept working at it?
We had like, we would finish a song and put it on the MySpace, and then we had some bot, so we were able to target the fans of all these other bands, which was sick technology back then, you know, so we could go through and be like, vote them, and it would tell us like who the fans were, and then we would send people like personalized messages, so that wasn't actually a bot. We would just send like hundreds of messages to people and stuff and be like, yo, how's it going? Check us out, really, just kind of like that. And that actually, we had a few thousand listens. I can't remember the exact number, but we were like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, and there was a couple of years in between that and Stench, and obviously Stench was something that kind of put you guys more so on the map, just because you got a lot of good reviews and a lot of raves about that particular album, how it was like a little bit more serious, but still within the same vein of kind of like this fantasy metal type situation.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It was definitely still all about goblins killing humans and destroying the human race. And that was basically it. So, I mean, that's what every song was about, you know, goblins killing humans, essentially. There was bears. That was probably one of the first forays into.
Wait, we had the song about birds.
Goblins. Oh, and birds. Right. Yeah. Turns to the sky. So the main idea behind the inception of it was just like this misanthropy and like, you know, we're a bunch of sarcastic assholes and we fucking are misanthropes. So we're going to write as these goblins and just kill the people. And it kind of evolved since then. I guess we all get older and things change.
Right.
But, you know, that's really where it came from.
That's cool. And I'm going on a limb here and saying that you guys probably spend a lot of time maybe reading or watching a lot of fantasy type stuff. Is that like safe to say?
Not really.
That's a big misconception, I think, about the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, I was probably playing WoW a bit. I don't know, but that was my big exposure to fantasy, I would say. But in terms of, like, actually, you know, I think Tim was really into sort of dark poetry and stuff like that. But in terms of it was really just, like, a sarcastic fuck you and nothing else, you know, to be honest.
That's what attracted, because they dropped Goblin Island, the first album, like a couple months before I joined the band.
Mm-hmm.
And like when, you know, Tim was inviting me, he's like, hey, would you want to be part of this? And like my whole interest in it was that it was like this, like for no reason goblins thing. Like if it was more about just like, this is like based on lore and we were actually real fans of, you know,
right.
I actually think that might've turned me off. Like I would have like not wanted to be a part of it, but like the fact that it was just like for no reason at all, like just like, yeah, cause fucking goblins. Cause who cares? Like right. Fuck life. You know, like that was like, you know, like, yeah, that's awesome. You know,
it definitely stands out in those days too.
All the shows the band was playing were Alex and Tim and friends were going to college at UCSB. So all the shows were like these keggers and stuff. And so it's like the fans, it wasn't like your typical fantasy metal kind of people. It was just a bunch of college kids getting wasted. Like, yeah, what is this? You know what I'm saying? So really weird, really weird stuff.
It was in a small town where you'd hear nothing but like reggae, you know, UC Santa Barbara. It's all like the vibe is just, you know, reggae, ska, like chill, go get laid type music.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this group of fucking nerds just like, you know, just screaming our asses off about goblins. And people are like, what the fuck is, what's going on over at that house?
Yeah. That is interesting. Well, and another thing I found that was interesting is I'm not necessarily sure as to which member or members of Necrogoblicon are in Wizard Throne, but Wizard Throne also led me to kind of believe that maybe these dudes are just like super into fantasy. You know what I mean? Because like goblins and wizards, it just makes sense. But it's interesting that you guys aren't.
Our drummer's in Wizard Throne, and he's kind of more from that world.
Okay,
he's tracking right now on out here. But he has a whole like. He has a whole catalog of his own music.
Mythos of shit.
Yeah. He's definitely deeper into that world than we are. He's still all about like lol, fuck you, like us too. So, he completely embraces that as well. But yeah, he has a whole and the group of dudes he does that with from the other bands, like they have like a deeper foot in that whole realm.
Interesting.
Deep, a very deep foot.
Yeah,
deep. I just personally
deepest possible foot in that.
They're submerged. It's quick
like
sand.
A thick foot. Yeah. Just
all the way in.
I definitely have. I wasn't into fantasy at all. However, I started reading a couple years ago, or not reading, but being more active as a reader. And I am reading like the Dark Tower series. So that's about as
like, what I was just about to say the exact same thing. I just finished Wizard in Glass. I love that series. It's amazing.
Okay, well, no spoilers because I'm only on, I'm in the Wastelands right now. So.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't want to spoil it for anyone listening anyways.
I still have no idea what's going on for the most part. I'm so lost.
Yeah.
So it's good that it'll hopefully will wrap itself up and I can understand the full story. But man, I would have hated to had read that book as it came out, because obviously a couple years
long waits. Jeez,
oh my God. Yeah. And again, like after the first book, I don't think I would have read the second one, having to wait like 4 or 3 years to read.
And the same way I started it a couple years ago on tour or something and in the audiobook. And now it's just like, just read them at my own pace. But yeah, it would suck to have to wait. You know?
Yeah. I'm interested to see where it takes me. Like I said, I'm in the middle of book three, so we'll see what happens. But
that's it's sweet. That one, I'm on the next one. Right? I just finished it, and they're both great. So.
Oh, okay, so you're only right ahead of me. All right, dope.
Yeah, just one ahead. Yeah,
those are the big long ones. I know that. But Alex, you're in the studio right now, and like we had kind of touched base yesterday before the situation ran off the rails, and nothing wanted to work on my end, and we had to reschedule for today, but. You said you're in Sanford and you're Sanford, Florida, and you're recording. Are you recording for NecroGalvacon project or a separate project?
This is for NecroGalvacon.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And Nikki was just here like a couple weeks ago, tracking vocals.
Right.
So yeah, the album is very, very close to completion. They're on their last song on drums right now. And,
which is like fairly actually hard to believe considering how the process has gone. I'm like, wow, we're actually getting through this pretty well. So, yeah.
Has it been a task during the pandemic to get it all situated, or just like other things that happening?
It's like everything, you know. It's like, okay, I've been writing these songs for 3 years. I probably wrote like 25 songs or something. Eventually it's like, okay, we're not going to use this. We're not going to use this. What are we going to do? Okay, got to finish this. And then it's like, okay, now to actually track. Alex has to learn all this shit. Some of it's impossible. You know, it's just everything.
Wow. So do you write
in the butt?
Do you guys write it like on like some MIDI program or like Guitar Logic Tab Pro thing or whatever? And then you just have to like learn the songs?
Yeah, Nikki composes all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually use Guitar Logic Tab Pro. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. So. I have stock in that, so please keep using that.
For sure, man.
Yeah. So it's
easier that way because you can write all the keyboards and then just use it. I mean, you know, it's already like the guitars are fake and the drums are fake and the bass is fake and the vocals are fake. I use a plugin for that. But for some of the keyboard stuff, I can just carry it over and.
That's sick.
Great.
That's sick.
It gives you like a realistic sort of demo. Whereas in the past, it was only writing in actual general MIDI, which I really miss. But when Lion came out for Mac, like general MIDI functionality was just destroyed in OS, Mac OS, and they just never fixed it. So what can you do?
Yeah. I remember finding those programs and then like hearing all of the songs that I loved in MIDI format. And I was like, this is so fucking weird.
Yeah. Totally.
Take it back to just notes and nothing.
Still have like a number of structures.
Oh yeah, for sure. So like the writing process, then Nikki, you just kind of handle the entire creative process about music and lyrics, or does band kind of like shoot ideas back and forth through each other as well? And then you compile them all together.
I'll probably like handle most of that now, the past two albums. In the past, we had like various ways of writing. In the Tim days, he would probably write 90% of stuff, and I would put keyboards all over it and write maybe 10% of the music and half the lyrics. And it's heavy meta. We all like each member wrote a couple songs or something. And then Bonkers, I was living out in the desert and everything was grim, you know, and it was just like, oh, fuck it. I'll just write this fucking thing, whatever. Let's just do it. And then for this album, yeah, it's just been kind of like that. It's actually a little easier that way, to be honest, in some strange way.
So. Do we have a title for this coming up album, or is that still in the works?
There's a title. I'm going to leave that up to Alex if we can say it on here or not. Yeah.
I might as well say it. You know, if someone picks up on it and decides to like, it's going to be called the Fundamental Slimes and Humors.
Interesting. What's the logic behind that name?
Well, it's kind of like if you look at like medieval medicine, the, you know, the four humors and stuff, and everyone thought that like the body was supported by like a sacks full of various fluids and stuff. So it's kind of based on that when it says humors, but it's also just kind of like slimy and humorous because it's Necrogoblicon. So it's sort of a little play on words, and it just feels good to say.
What can like the Necrogoblicon fan base expect with the new album? Is it going to be kind of similar to the previous five, or is it going to be kind of an experimental, you know, out release?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yes to all.
Basically.
A little something for everyone. You stick into the old tried and true version of Necrogoblicon, but trying a couple new things.
There's like a song that could have come off Stench on there. There's some songs that could have come off like a weird hardcore band. You never know. Like, we're going in some new directions, but hopefully nothing that'll alienate people. And even if it does, fuck them anyways, really. But I think it's just catchier, better, cooler. And sounds better. The quality of the recording is like great right now. So I think people are mainly going to be blown away. And there's going to be a couple people who are like, "Fuck you! You have more clean singing now." But it's not like kind of singing. So regardless, you know.
Yeah, with every Necrogoblicon album, I think it's like come to be expected from us that there's going to be stuff that like throws you off. Like, what they're doing? What now? But that's become so part of what Necrogoblicon is that that's almost not even a deviation. Mm-hmm. there has to be some kind of place where it takes a left turn and you're like, what are they doing now? But I feel like that at this point, if you've been following us, you come to like expect us. Like, if we didn't do that, it would like not be Necrogoblicon.
Yeah. Then they wrote the same one again and be like, oh,
yeah, right. God, yeah.
Everything is sad. You know?
Right. Yeah. Like they're bored. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a question about John Goblin. Cause I have to admit, I thought he was a part of the actual band. Is he actually on like the road with you guys and such? I know he's a kind of like a entertainer kind of person, and he has the YouTube show and everything like that. And I just really wasn't aware that. I don't know really where he fits. So, like, explain that for me.
So yeah, we were playing a show like a year or so after we moved to LA. In like 2012, and I was working at a record label at the time, and one of my coworkers, his buddy, who is kind of an up and coming director, came to the show. And
you can say who it is. I think everyone in the scene kind of knows who that is. Oh, fucking A, come on,
Brandon Dermison. Yeah, yeah, and he. Yeah, so he like loved it. He was just like, we were playing for like 10 people, and then like he just was like, "Why is this room not fucking packed with people? I love this. Like, I love that you guys don't take yourself seriously, but like you guys write great music." And he came up.
It's also
with this.
Our first time meeting him, by the way.
Right? Yeah. That was our first time. That was our first. Yeah. Like
meeting Brendan or John Goblin.
Bro, Brandon. We met John later.
Okay.
Yeah, but Brandon, that was our first time meeting Brandon, and. Yeah, he had this idea for a music video that he happened to have a friend that was a goblin, which is odd, you know, that usually doesn't happen.
Worked out, but, yeah.
Yeah, but and it kind of like, I think that was like having that visual element of John Goblicon kind of made like, it kind of freed, like, I think if, and Nikki, correct me if I'm wrong here, like, I feel like it frees you up from having to sing specifically about goblins, because it's like,
I think so for sure.
Like now we have the goblin, and now it's a character. Yeah, it doesn't matter that it's like,
no matter what we write, people are going to see this goblin. They're going to assume it's about goblins. So it's like, hey, just write whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. And I think a lot.
But
of
it's still all about goblins deep down.
Wink.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's now like, I think the lyrics are perceived as being now from the eyes of this goblin, and now it's about. Like a specific goblin and their experience of navigating the world as an outsider kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just, throughout the past, you know, we had always wanted just to be like, we're just regular dudes. That's the thing. We're not dressing as goblins. We don't want to go down this like war road or anything. We're just these dudes. We're playing this music about goblins. And so, you know, it was a win that we still never had to all dress up as goblins, but we actually found a goblin just to be the goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a thing we went, like talking like A&R guys and stuff before, people who liked our music. They're like, you guys need to like do a shtick, like dress up or something. And let's just like, and I could see where they were coming from on it, but right. It's just like, I just knew us too. It's like, we're not those guys though. Like, we just like, there's guys who can do that and like, they're convincing and because they believe in doing that. And like, we like, it would be so like, if we tried to do that, it would come off as so disingenuous that it would be like yeah. worse, you know, like it's like that we can't go that road.
Do you find like your fan base being like very into fantasy and then kind of bummed when you guys aren't?
Like, not really, because if someone's into fantasy, it's like, we totally back that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, Heavy Metal was still like a concept album from this story of goblins. Like, we've still done it. You know what I'm saying? It's just really not the driving force behind our creative process, really. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, it seems like the people who really kind of get the band oftentimes are, they're a lot like us, which is the weird thing. I think there's something about the music just draws similar people together or something.
I can see that.
Yeah, like
that.
Very like, yeah, like fun, cynical, like, yeah, yeah. It's like people who just love like I even feel like reading the comment sections of our posts, like, you know, like the general sass of it, just like, these are our people, you know, these are like they're talking talking shit in a fun way, that the way we would interact with one another.
Right. Right.
Kind of thing. You know, it's like, that's,
but we love it when people want to come to a show dressed as goblins and stuff like that. And we're always happy to see goblins out there in the crowd and stuff. So we're not trying to rain on anyone's fantasy parade.
Right. No, I just kind of assumed that, you know, being like myself, I was just like, these guys have to be super into fantasy because all the, you know, which is cool too, but you know, it's interesting that you guys not. So I would assume like some of your fan base probably is like, oh my God, they probably know about whatever book that I love. And then they talk to you about it and you're like, I have no idea. And they're like, oh, okay.
A lot of Googling, you know?
Yeah. So how often is John with you guys on tour? Is he like a staple on tour with you guys too?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. People always want to, they want to see the goblin. They like, I think that's he's the mascot. He's like what this all means to them. I feel like at the end of the day, you know,
he's like Pepe from Pepe Bar.
Yeah. You know, every Pepe Bar's got its Pepe, you know, Necrogoblicon's got its goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, and again, no disrespect to John Goblicon or anything like that, but he was going to be on, or we had the option to have him on. I just didn't know if it was going to be as serious. Not that this is going to be a serious interview, but you know, I don't know if I could ask those questions like, hey, how did you come into the band, Goblin Guy? You know what I mean? And then he gives me some kind of gore kind of response, you know?
Yeah, it would start to become a kind of structured shtick feel like.
And I wanted to know more about the actual, like, where it came from and like what the role of that character is, because it is such like a, like you said, it's like an, I don't want to say iconic in like an iconic way, but like when you think of Necrogoblicon, there's no way, if you know the band, that you can't think of that green head with the long ears. You know, so it's like, it's
that
insane.
One YouTube thumbnail.
Yeah. Yeah. And his channel's pretty funny too. And his interviews, like, you know, he's a fucking, it's a funny stick.
One more thing I want to add just on that. It's like, so when we were doing that show, the first show featuring John Goblicon, we put out a flyer or something like the Necrogoblicon featuring the goblin from No One Survives. We're like, okay, let's just try this. We'll see how it goes. And then of course the show was like packed and everyone was like, and it was maybe one of the first shows we played that was just like insanely full of crazy people. And at that point we're like, well, okay, I guess we're doing this, forever now. You know?
This is what we do now.
Yeah. It was like a one singular turning point. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
What year is that? What year did you kind of include John in the whole stick?
It must've been late 2012 or early 2013.
Yeah, 2012. Okay. 2012 was when the No One Survives video went viral in September. I think it was October that we had that show. And it was like, and I remember we started to do, like, the following year, we started to get booked for summer festivals in Europe, like the following year, that summer.
Yeah, and solely based on that video.
Yeah.
I always remember our manager telling us, like, the agent was on the phone with him. And he's like, so is the goblin going to be there? And without even like checking with us or anything, he's like, yes, he's good. Yes. You know, like just kind of making sure we got the festival.
Right, right, right. Yeah, of course. We will figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
That's insane. So before we switch off, because I want to talk about those tours around that time when John started being in the band. But you guys, is Brandon doesn't do the music videos anymore. Is that because he's too expensive because he's gotten so much popularity now? And or is he just too busy?
Oh, no, he's still he did the Chop Suey video. He did our
okay, cool, cool,
so
cool.
He's
cool.
Still part of the fold. He's like, I mean, he's like a bandmate in that sense. You know, he's behind, you know, all of John Gobblecon. You know, it's mm-hmm. his like, it's his
AM video that, so. That isn't directed by Brandon personally has still had a huge involvement from him in the,
okay,
the writing
cool.
and creation,
yeah.
etc.
Yeah,
he's
I saw
overseen.
That.
He's overseen every visual project we've done.
Cool. I didn't know that he was the director of the Chop Suey cover, but I did see that he hadn't done, or he wasn't credited at least as the director on the last couple of videos. So, and I know that he has gotten to
well,
a different level.
Well, I mean, Brandon Small,
now.
Of course, dressed as goblins.
Right. And that was still produced by Brandon Dermer. So he still kind of, he made sure the character was still consistent with what he originally created.
Cool. That's great. And now back to the festival European tours and such like that. You guys played Kerrang, the Kerrang tour with a favorite band of mine, I can admit, Limp Bizkit. Yes. How did they take to the whole goblin thing?
That was a funny time, man. I remember, like, so that was all kind of happening, rap, like, Kerrang, Kerrang, what's this? Kerrang, Kerrang. Like, what? And then, so there's a cover shoot with John Gobblecon. He wasn't actually available that day. So I dressed up as John Gobblecon, and I go to meet Fred Durst at this warehouse somewhere in L.A. And it was like the most surreal kind of thing. So I'm there trying to stick in a contact for the first time in my life. And behind me, up walks Fred Durst, right? He's like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, super nervous. Just like, oh, my God, give me a second here, man. And then like, hey. And then he was choking me moments later, so.
Insane.
That was real weird. And then we went and did the actual tour, and it, you know, we didn't hang out with them too much, but they all seemed nice. And
that's cool. You know, if Wes was there, he would have probably given you a lot more pointers on putting in the big ass contacts.
I think so too. Yeah, for sure.
Well, he's one of the guests that I would love to have on the podcast. Unfortunately, that's like I'm putting it out there that I'd like to get it done in within 100 episodes of this, but we'll see if that ever happens. We've got like 40 more to go, so I have a little leeway, but neither here nor there. But do you guys find that the music and the reception is bigger in Europe or America?
It feels England's, about equal.
England loves
UK.
It.
Yeah.
UK loves it. Like, what, Hungary? They went apeshit.
Hungary loved it.
Germany's always still like staying there, kind of trying to figure it out. It seems like,
yeah, Germany's
America,
been a tough
overall,
sell.
Yeah, overall, America's pretty solid. So the UK and America have been like kind of, and Canada actually.
I was just curious because you know they do have more of like a medieval and castle kind of history over there. So I would assume that you probably are more popular over there because it's just more of like their lifestyle.
That's kind of with Germany. That's kind of where our non-committal attitude towards fantasy it doesn't quite read.
You're like, no, like thanks.
You know, like because we're just like being sarcastic. Like Nikki's like just making jokes in between songs constantly, and just like all the like ironic satirical jokes, and it's going like there. It's not what they were thinking, and it's not what, especially with sometimes the other bands we're playing with, they're like power metal type bands. It's just not what they're like, what are they doing? Are they breaking the fourth wall or like what? Like, it's just, no, we just don't like, that's not what we do. Like,
yeah.
The fantasy aspect. So
there are a few Germans I've met who really like it though, you know? So I think it'll eventually make sense. I think the humor is just something that, maybe it doesn't always translate.
Totally.
Where are some of your favorite places you have played around the world?
One of my favorite, the one that sticks out in my head right now is playing in Prague. Was awesome.
Cool.
That city in general is awesome, and yeah, the energy and like we haven't been to Scandinavia yet, but a lot of people like came from Norway to see that show, which was awesome. So that's the one that just sticks out right now. I'm sure.
I always remember Montreal, Le Fouf or whatever.
Oh, Le Fouf, Electriques.
Le Fouf Unique Electric. It's Electric Butt Cheeks. But I remember there was a band opening for us there, and the keyboardist was like warming up on one of our riffs and stuff. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
None of us even know that riff.
Yeah, it's always weird when like you get a fan and they remember things that you don't remember, whether it's like old songs or old things you've said, or you know. And I'm sure people will come up to me and they'll say something about an episode I talked about like early on, and I have no idea what they're going to talk about.
Oh yeah, totally, yeah.
I'm just living in the moment right here, right now. It's not like I, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily remember everything, and I don't go back and listen to a bunch of these, unfortunately. So. But you know, if I ever have you guys on again, I'm definitely going to touch base with this episode. So, you know, there's that.
For sure.
So you guys, been kind of laying low for the last, you know, couple years. Obviously the pandemic made everyone lay low a little bit, but, within that time frame, you guys got a pretty big shout out, on a pretty big, pretty big outlet podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience. And the person who shouted you out happens to be like, I don't know, one of the biggest pop stars of the last 5+ years, Post Malone. Have you guys like been in contact with Posty about anything? Maybe like him joining up John Necrogoblicon on stage sometime?
Well, we started small and just, you know, we sent him a bunch of merchandise.
Nice.
And just kind of as a thank you. And I kind of feel like that's a huge, huge ask to go any
further. We don't want to be punished
any further involvement. Yeah. Obviously we'd love for something more to come of that, but I mean, Hell, we're just grateful for the shout out. I feel like
that was an interesting that was interesting that he would even say that, you know, and because Post is also all over the place in general. Like he'll like country music, he sings hip hop, pop music, but he also is well versed in like old rock and metal. So it's very interesting that he, you know, that he's listening to your band.
straight up.
Listening to it enough to even tell Joe Rogan about it, and then have them bring up the picture of you guys on the show. Did you guys find that there was like an influx in like follows and listens and just like overall awareness of the band at that point?
Definitely. I was going through our like listener analytics, and there's this like spike on the day that podcast happened, and you know, and it kind of like, you know, obviously leveled off a little bit, but like a lot of people stayed. Like it definitely brought a lot of new listeners to us.
Yeah.
And it was like perfect timing because we had just dropped the Chop Suey cover.
Oh, nice.
So we had something fresh for people to hear, and I couldn't people thought I fucking planned it. People were like, dude, like, how much did you pay Post? And I was like, I had no idea.
We don't have enough money to pay Post.
I was getting texts like, dude, Post will excited. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's the morning, dude. Leave me alone. Yeah. Wait, really? Oh, crazy, man. Gotta start listening to Post Malone now, you know? Yeah, right.
That's what you should. Now you should cover one of his songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
You did the Chop Suey one. And how did you
get like an auto tune rack and just go for it?
Yeah. You already have plugins, you said, for vocals. So, you know, you can figure it out.
Vocal bender.
So do you guys want to collaborate with Posty in the future? Would that be something that the Necrogoblicon band would like to do?
For sure, man.
Yeah. I would assume so.
He's got to get a verse or something. You know what I mean? This whole feature moment. We can do a whole song. We'll just have like a little bit of Necro, just mainly Post. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, hey, do your thing. And then we'll work around that. Yeah.
We'll put an accordion in at the end. You know what I mean?
Accordions and breakdowns around whatever he wants to do.
Well, he was inviting some musicians over and they were covering a bunch of songs and stuff like that. So maybe you'll get the invite, you know, maybe we'll put it out there with this podcast and maybe your fans and maybe the Lamb Goat fans can tweet at Post Malone and we'll hook it up. We'll try to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
Curious collabs, yes. Yeah.
And by the next time we do this podcast, you know, we will have worked with Post. You will have had Wes Borland on here. You know, it's all these things are going to come together.
We'll all have gold chains because we'll be fucking rich. Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be really great. I was going to ask you something, but then I got so lost on the Post Malone thing.
All good.
But one thing I do know about your band is
also London. London's a great place to play. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, that's I feel like that's a goblin home.
Got a shout out to London. You
know? I think anything with a lot of history behind it, necessarily like America doesn't have a long, long history, you know, but compared to other countries, they've been around for a longer period of time. And I feel like again, that medieval kind of vibe is so prevalent. That's where I figured you would have more of your success at, just because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. The hard part is it's not like they're paying us for plane tickets or anything. So, you know, the reception's always great.
Yeah. But no, it is your music is very, very fun. That is one thing that I've come to realize. It's great. The instruments are played very well. The riffs are awesome. Everything about it is really, really, really fun. And then on top of it, you have like you're screaming dressed as goblins a million times. So it's like, you know, it's great shit and it's fun. And maybe it's because I'm at the age now where I can laugh at metal and have a good time. Because if I was younger, I'd probably have been like, what is this? You know what I mean? But now I can accept it. I understand it, not accept it. And it's just a great time.
And accept it.
I'll accept it too. One of my friends actually, you guys played here. This is Jacksonville, Florida. I'm in Jacksonville. You guys played here, I think, right before the pandemic, or maybe a year before the pandemic.
Tour probably
with CKY. Was it?
Yeah. It might. I don't know, but it was with.
It was the last date of the tour with CKY. I know we ended in Jacksonville on that tour.
Was it 1904? Yeah. That's I think the venue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the venue. Yeah. He came back and he was like, "Bro, you have to fucking check this band out." And he had no idea who you were, and he was like, "You have to fucking check this band out." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And he was telling me about it, but then he also told me he had went with like a girl who thought she was a witch. So I was like,
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like she'll be at a Necrogoblicon show.
Yeah, she might be. Yeah, you might have met her. She might be in your DMs or something. Who knows?
There's a whole cluster of witches out there. The more you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're out there. Yeah.
So what are some of like the wildest times you guys have had on the road? Because I feel like you guys attract wild, crazy people with your show and everything like that.
No, we're pretty tame, really.
I mean, yeah, I think the wilder things that have happened with us have been like usually not involving fans. It's just been like hilarious things that have happened to us or like fucking it's just. And usually it's usually just hilarious disasters that I feel like could happen to any band, but for some reason I feel like it happens to us more.
Yeah.
What about the time we were running really late to like that show this year?
Yeah.
Not this year, but you know.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Heavy like, Montreal.
We played Heavy Montreal 2019. And nice. So we were on the Summer Slaughter tour, which, you know, typically the whole lineup gets booked onto Heavy Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sharing a bus with another band, Carnifex. And any touring band from the States knows that the crossing the border to Canada is like the biggest fucking bitch in the world.
Yeah.
And anything on your criminal history, even if it's been expunged or anything, like they know about it. If they look at you and they see something like, oh, you had like a minor drug possession, like even you were 16 for a nug of weed and
yep.
You know, they don't like the clothes you're wearing. They could just deny you. And it's like, it's basically subjective. It seems like, so it's always a gamble as to like whether, you know, everyone's going to get through or not. And, you know, a couple guys on the crew of the bus couldn't get through.
Mm.
So we had to go all the way back and drop them off and come through again. Meanwhile, we have to be there at 2 PM for our slot to play. And we had to go through customs twice. And like, by the time we get to the festival grounds, like it's time for us to set up and we don't know where the stage is. And like, we're frantically trying to get, the golf carts out there, you know, the golf cart.
Yeah,
the
festival golf carts. The festival staff was awesome. Yeah. They came up and they were like, we're playing in 10 minutes and we're shooting on a golf cart to somewhere we don't know. You know what I mean? Freaking out.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I remember specifically like that morning at the border crossing again, there was one guy who's like a real stickler, you know, and he's like, "You're not making it. You're not making your show, right? You're not making it." And then the guards changed, his shift was over, and this nice lady came. She's like, "All right, let's get you guys through here." So,
So it's weird. It's weird that you're saying all that because, like, as someone who has traversed that that border, I'm half Canadian. My family was from French Canada or Quebec, so I've done that border many times. And I mean, I get that I have like the dual citizenship thing, so I get let in a little bit easier. But I do know that when I've gone with my friends, not my parents or family, when I go with my friends, it definitely takes a little bit longer to get through.
Yeah, I think if you're just like a person or like a couple, that they're probably not too worried about it, you know. But if you're like a bus full of dudes, they're like,
yeah,
so that's long disgusting. Hair and tattoos.
Yeah. How do we get some money out of these people? Yeah. Yeah. Really.
What's this goblin mask for, guys?
Yeah, that's been like actually It's been helpful at times crossing customs. It's like, what do? I'm a goblin. Oh, I love this. Go on through, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you guys are fun. Okay.
I've only personally gotten issues coming back into the country. That's when when I've gotten issues coming across that border. But Heavy Montreal is something I definitely wanted to check out. And because I have like family up there, it's something that I can relatively do somewhat easy. But it's something that I need to get going. Yeah. I need to check that out.
It's a sweet festival. It's a really cool location. Everything's awesome. So yeah.
Yeah. I've never done any of the European festivals, which I would love to do. I've done a lot of the ones here in the States. But yeah, like Download would be cool for me. Kerrang shows over there would be dope. And again, Heavy Montreal, I would like to experience all that because they're so different, obviously, than American festivals with European.
Yeah, the whole fandom in Europe is just like so much more positive and together, and everyone's like, oh, clapping and singing together. And there's something like festivals are just like something that they really seem to get right for whatever reason.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is, that it's more accepted over there?
It's like, I think it's just a cultural thing that really, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Maybe because there's something deeply ingrained in the psyche, you know, it's like people don't mind feeling less unique for the sake of all feeling together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's slowly working its way in the States. Cause like, I think that I feel like in Europe that they've had the destination festivals for a long time. And, you know, I think the States, you know, we had Warped Tour and Ozfest and Mayhem
Fest.
Right,
traveling festivals.
But, you know, I think over time as the traveling festivals have gone away, and I'm sure a lot of it's because of costs and everything, but the destination festivals, I think America's starting to follow in Europe's footsteps with making these like, you know, like Welcome to Rockville and all the other ones whose names I'm going to not remember right now. But yeah. Like,
that's the only one you need to remember. That's the one down here by me. So it's all good.
Okay, perfect. I nailed it. yeah. I think that's slowly starting to happen here too, which is exciting.
Yeah. There's definitely
now we just got to get invited to play them and we're good.
Okay, check this out. Here's another thought, like heavy rock and metal stuff is not like off-putting to people out there.
That's
so
true.
All these people just come as if it's like, oh, it's just the thing we do together. And it's like, oh, do you like hard rock? Do you like metal? You know, and it's not. But in America, it's like, oh, I don't like stuff with growls or something. That's scary. You know, they're going to like sacrifice someone or something. So
yeah.
There's still that prevalent thought in people's head for some reason.
What do you think?
It's true.
What do you think changes that, by the way? Because I've in the last couple of months here, I'm thinking, like, because I work with Lambgoat and because of the podcast and stuff, and one of my goals with the podcast is to bridge that gap of, like, we are obviously older people, but there are younger generations that are going to get into heavy music. And, like, how can we make metal a bigger genre to compete with, like, other genres, like, you know, even hard rock, but, like, pop and hip-hop? Like, what are some things that would maybe help the younger generation get into like heavier stuff?
People just need to be exposed to it. So I think, you know, mixing the bills more, not just having it all be like, this is a tech death festival, period. You know what I'm saying?
And like, a lot of that, I feel like, comes from elitism within the genre, which
what?
I think is a big problem. It's like, it's like, you know, people, yeah, like it's, you know, the over like just trying to subdivide some every genre and like, you know, like, oh, I only like death metal and I hate black metal and I hate breakdowns, but I like, you know, it's like deciding on certain little dynamics that you don't accept in your music and metal when it's all fucking a bunch of like yelling in the first place is really funny to me. But
certainly
like,
on Warped Tour though, there were tons of people who came to see whatever pop punk band or screamo band who caught Necro and then said, oh, I loved it, you know. So yeah, I think even just having them be exposed to that.
They did. They definitely had great lineups with a lot of different genres on a bunch of their lineups. I'm not going to say every lineup was very diverse, but they definitely expanded and got other. I remember they started bringing metal bands, and then I remember they started bringing like dubstep DJs in, and they, you know, it's everything.
Totally. And that's definitely a component at the big European festivals. I remember playing a room in Germany somewhere and then watching this rapper Dizzy Rascal playing. And it was like, whoa, everyone's still having fun at both these shows on the same day. It's not like someone's like, you know?
Yeah. I was at Louder Than Life not last year, 2019. I was at Louder Than Life. And like one of the headliners is Ice Cube. I almost said Ice-T. Ice Cube, and like, you know, he was one of the only rappers on the main stage. And but again, no one left that crowd after whatever Rock Band played before, and they stayed around for the Rock Band after, or you know, the band afterwards. So it's really cool to see diverse lineups like that, because again, it does bring the younger generation into whatever fold, you know.
And it's the fact that people can find exactly what they want on YouTube now, and just, you could go into a wormhole of like only Black and Death and only ever listen to that. Is that helping people branch out because the suggestions and stuff, or is it just enabling people to go further into their elite tunnels?
It's enabling, because they just don't want you to leave YouTube. So they want you to listen to the same shit that you've been listening to, and they're just going to recommend and suggest the same kind of content. They're not going to explore anything.
They're afraid of taking you out of it. And
right.
It's like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, I should probably, like, you know, fucking put my clothes on and leave.
Get off the toilet, get out of bed, whatever, you know? Yeah, how often do you get caught on the toilet, guys? You know what I mean? A lot.
Right.
Now you're like, it's been an hour. Oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
Right? Yeah, totally. It's like, well, let me just, okay, one more. Okay, hold on. Got to purchase some gems here. Yeah.
You playing Clash of Clans or something?
I'm playing this game called Ooh La La Idle Adventure.
Okay.
Shameful. It's a great game, though, if you like idle games.
Do you game a lot?
I play a lot of PS4 and Hearthstone.
Nice.
I just play like Mario Party and shit.
Yeah.
I'm a basic ass gamer.
Yeah, it's like a little different than the PS4 and Hearthstone. Like,
Our keyboardist is probably the biggest gamer.
Maybe,
yeah. Right? Do you guys like ever think about combining the two, like with like a maybe like twitching and just like having like a hangout with you guys playing whatever fucking games? Or do you guys do anything like that where you connect with your fan base on a more deep level than just like releasing music and posting on social media?
We probably should, but
Eric does. Well, we definitely think about it and say we should do this quite a bit, you know. But the actually doing it part is probably in the future.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I get it. So it's extremely hard.
But I mean, it's just like, okay, I gotta get set up, and then sometimes you're on a live stream and you're just like, what the fuck am I going to say? You know,
welcome to the show here. I don't know what I'm going to say the next second that we.
Everyone's going to know I'm boring.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Fuck, this is what they're like. They seem so fun. God damn it.
Yeah. See, you're letting them down. You're not in a fantasy. You're not fun. You play Mario Party. I mean, they're thinking you're Call of Duty or something. You know, I don't know.
Call of Duty, man. Yeah.
It's
fun.
So what's the rollout going to be like? When can the fans expect like the album? Because you're obviously recording it now, so it's got a couple, you know, a couple more steps to go. You had a master process and all that other stuff. So, do you have a timeline for like a release date and like single releases and such like that?
It's kind of, I think, like we're hoping for it to come out like in the fall, but depending on like what touring looks like, we're probably going to make it all align, you know. So it's part of one big campaign, mm-hmm. as they say, you know. But so we're not really sure when it's going to come out. We know it'll be done like in the next couple, 2-3 months, like completely done. And so I definitely think you'll be hearing a new song from us this year at the very least. But in terms of the whole thing coming out, you know, we'll
and even then it'll be done. So it's just a matter of waiting until we can line everything up. So it's coming soon.
Yeah.
Do you guys have singles already picked out for it and like an idea of like what one's going to get a video and, you know, this, that, or the other?
Yeah, we have like we have ones that we know are like the golden geese or whatever.
Are those your favorite tracks on the album, or do you guys just have tracks that you want to have as singles and then you have other favorite tracks on the album?
Sort of like the latter there, but it's not really. It's hard to pick favorites when you're so immersed in these songs and you've been listening to them for like 3 years already. It's kind of like just oxygen or something.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Every song is like, has a different function, and it's like, okay, these are like, okay, this seems like this is the singly song. We love all the songs, but like, yeah, at this point we're kind of like figuring out, okay, this one's going to be a good live banger. And this one's going to be like, we're at that point with it already. Cause I think we've been sitting with these songs for so long during the pandemic.
Of course, at the end of the day, like, we'll see, but, you know, these are our hunches and such.
Right.
And so, totally. Yeah.
Do you ever, because, like, you spend so much time with, you know, the art, do you ever start to hate it? And, like, how many of the songs don't get to make the final cut?
I mean, never really start to hate it, but sometimes you start to feel like less enthusiastic about something and just kind of over it. It's like a lot of the songs that didn't make it were incomplete or just ideas. And then it was like, okay, well, we know that like these 11 are super sick. So let's just say cutting it off, you know, cutting it off. We got 11 cool ones. If we wanted to come back, there's still like 30 plus partial songs. But I don't think there's ever going to be a creative drought. I never feel like I'm out of ideas, you know. Yeah, but if that does happen, we got plenty of backstock to pull from.
Yeah, it's like we have these like reserves in case of like lack of of enthusiasm or creativity. Like, all right, well, we've got this. You know, there's a whole Dropbox. Nikki has like it's like gigs of material. I feel like
there's plenty of stuff. But the sad part is, I doubt any of that's ever even going to get used because it'll just be like onto the new shiny thing.
Well, you know? I think that we have our first. We have a first paywall item. You can just like let users pay and then listen to your unreleased, you know, stuff. That could be a
peruse the demos.
Yeah. I mean, people release that
one
stuff,
Ethereum.
Yeah, right.
You could charge with some kind of cryptocurrency and then become millionaires later on. But you know, that may be a thing that you want to try. Are you you into crypto, guys? You're losing money on that right now?
I am.
Join the club.
It's gonna come back, damn it! It's gonna come back.
I just put more into it today. Actually,
it's good. You gotta buy that dip, man. It's gonna keep going.
I have faith. I have faith long term. You know what's funny is like we put up an NFT like a month ago.
Oh, cool!
And we got so much shit for it. It was hilarious.
We were just trying to be open minded, and futuristic, but people are like, you're not true anymore. Never true, guys. Yeah. All right?
You guys are ruining the environment. This is terrible. It's just like, dude, we're just trying to make some money during a pandemic.
Right, okay, our bad. Geez, don't buy the NFT then, you know?
We're not telling anyone you have to do this.
The people aren't ready just yet, but, you know, someday.
The NFT thing is very weird. I've had to get on a couple like Zoom calls with buddies out in California and be like, all right, man, you got to explain this to me. Like,
what's going on with this? It's stupid, isn't it? But I mean,
The art side of it, I think, is kind of stupid. But the other shit, like every other application, is probably like really, you know, really fundamental and cool. But the art thing is just like, you know, $60 million for NFTs at Barney's and shit like that. And people are like, what? You know, they don't understand.
Here's $1 million for a GIF, you know?
Like, and that's the thing. I was like, what does it matter if I own the GIF or the GIF? I can't believe you said GIF. I say GIF.
I say GIF, man. We're going to have to fight.
It's not GIF peanut butter.
Well, I mean, the creator is on record saying it's GIF.
I know, but I think he was just
traffic.
I've been saying that since I was like seventh grade or something, so it's a fortunate habit.
No, I know.
I said GIF since then too, so yeah, I don't, by the same mechanism, there was no, I call it GIF not because I know I'm right or anything, just or you know, I don't know which one is which. I just, that's like the
fucking, I'll die on that
that's
hill.
That's how I learned it at first.
Yeah, I'm gonna die on that hill. I'll die on the hill. It's a GIF for me because that's just, I remember when
I like that soft G, it's more sensual.
GIF.
That's the only correct one.
So what kind of cryptocurrency what kind of cryptos are you guys into, if you don't mind asking?
Well, I think Bitcoin is promising because, you know, it's gonna have more scarcity, whereas apparently Ethereum has got the technology down better. So I think, you know, the altcoins are sort of just like jumping on the wagon. Bitcoin's the one who really needs to prove itself for those to catch on, and then it kind of defeats the purpose to have 1,000 altcoins or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think Bitcoin's long-term probably the way to go, but I diversified sort of. It's not really diverse. It's all crypto. It's all the same. But like, put some in Ethereum because that was taking off. There was that Dogecoin shit a few weeks ago. It was like, I'm not really into day trading or anything. I'm just trying to be like, this is a better savings account. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I was looking at it too until recently. And I was like, oh, well, my savings never really goes down in the bank, but it's going down now.
Yeah, there's that scary, that scary FUD aspect. Right?
But like I told my friends, I've kissed that money goodbye at this point, unfortunately, and we'll ride it out. Because if it says, like, if it goes the way that, you know, the experts say, it could be a couple six figures to $1 million worth in, you know, in the time being.
So, you never know. But if there's anything, it's like people are talking about it right now. People are still adopting it en masse or whatever, you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
it's not even being used on anything for the most part, you know, publicly. So it's
like, this is like the very beginning still, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully. With the pandemic, have you guys taken any time to get into any music that you normally would have passed up on or anything like that? Like, have you found a new band that maybe you didn't give the time of day to previously?
Well, I'll say maybe, but can't remember. Spotify.
Yeah. Let's check. I'd have to look at my Spotify too, but I have been just in general more in the habit of trying to discover more music, like kind of getting into Spotify playlists, you know, kind of the newer stuff coming out. And I even actually, you know, I'm listening to more of the newer metal coming out. I kind of like, you know, especially being in a metal band, you get so sick of hearing other metal. But I'm trying to be like more optimistic. I'm like, no, there's like I still love metal. There's still like new cool bands coming out every day. And
Name me some real quick that you found.
I gotta look. So off the top of my head, I'm gonna be like the.
Well, one band that I personally have gotten into that I never gave the time of day to, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this saying it publicly, but the Mars Volta.
Oh,
yeah. That
they're sweet.
The Deloused and the Kyle, whatever, the Deloused album.
Crematorium.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. like been on repeat for like a month now. And I have.
Now I'm lost.
Yeah, it's great. Stuff. It's great. And I kick myself for just missing that for the last 15 years, so.
Well, it's still music, you know what I mean? It's like, who cares when you hear it? Yeah, I really like this band Chromeo. I've been listening to them.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Chromeo's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's the A-Trax brother and some stuff.
Yes, yeah, a Canadian duo there.
You kind of look like this brother a little bit there, Nikki.
Yeah, they're like an Arab and a Jew. You know, those guys, they like to joke about this is the first successful Arab Jew partnership in history. You know,
interesting.
That's fucking hilarious.
So a couple bands I discovered, one I had already heard of his earlier stuff. And then he got bigger. I didn't really pay attention as Igor.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome shit.
That was a big one for me last year too. That album.
And another one that I have to dig deeper into. I just heard a couple singles from Zeal and Ardor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it has this kind of like, sludgy soulness to it, but then it has like these blackened elements. It's like I have to dig way further, but it like they're on my radar now, so I have to like just dig.
It's interesting you bring up Igor, because when I listen to you guys, I can see that like there's like a resemblance, and it may be because like you guys have, and I don't know how to really classify it, and maybe Nikki can expand.
Techno elements,
not really techno. It's more of like a I don't want to. It's not I'm not saying anything disrespectful, but it's like a like a medieval European carnival vibe.
Oh, right.
Right. Totally. And I hear that in your music, but I also definitely heard that in the last album that Igor put out. And I love it. So it's just crazy that you bring up Igor, because I was going to ask if you guys are familiar with that band or that your group.
Yeah, they're sick.
Yeah. Where does that come from? Where does the medieval circus vibe come from?
I wish I could tell you, honestly. It just feels right.
It's like it could be like Pirates of the Caribbean type theme too.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, well, like back in the day, like when we first started, we were for sure basically like a mashup of Fintroll and Children of Bodom, at least in our heads, you know? So, I mean, there was always that effort, and 90% of Fintroll back then was like, dun 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 dun, you know? So kind of just rolling with the Rumpa vibes there and just seeing how far you can take it, I guess. In terms of like, yeah, a lot of major seven, you know what I'm saying? Like the transition from one chord to another will always, there's little things like that which kind of make it folksy in your head, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. And again, like it's just so unique and different from most of the stuff that I listen to in general here in the States, that when I think we posted like I don't want to call it. Is it New Noise? Whatever the album was, or I'm sorry, whatever the song was off of that album for Igor, where they had like the video that was weird CGI, and it was just like this crazy 2 minute long video. And that's when I found that band, and then I found the album, and the album was fucking great. And I didn't even realize they only had one song with like actual lyrics from when with Corpse.
Very Pirate. Noise, perhaps. Very Noise.
Yes, Very Noise.
Very Noise.
That's the one. And it was weird that I didn't even realize that they didn't have like real lyrics, except for the Corpse Grinder song. And then you research it and you find out that they only like sing made up language between the singer and the screamer guy.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that either. Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
This is a language I don't know.
I thought it was like some weird French thing. Because aren't they from? Isn't the group from France? Right? Yeah. So I thought it was French, but I was like, I don't recognize any of these words. So.
Yeah, I just assumed it was some sort of French.
It makes it that much cooler to me that it's just like some weird made up shit and no one really cares, right?
That's cooler.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys being on the fucking show. It was great. I'm real thankful that you are so accommodating to switching it to another day, obviously. But do you have anything that you want to kind of like shout out before we get off here? Like any side projects, any side little things that you do? Like, oh, I have a podcast or I stream on Instagram or whatever.
I'm putting out weird music that metal fans will hate. If you want to check that out,
that's always a plus. Under what pseudonym?
T_thrust. So terminal thrust, but just it makes the crying face with the T's. You know. So what kind of
vibe is it?
It's like experimental electronic pop with non-catchy elements. I don't know.
So the opposite.
Check it out. I only got one out there, but there's another coming, and I'm just. I'm not going to tour on it. Probably it's just kind of push it out, you know.
He's being humble. It's fucking awesome. I'm just going to say that.
It's rad. It's a matter of taste. You know?
I'll definitely check it out. I like to moonlight in the electronic world. I come from that background, so yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Something different for you. Also, check out Cassiopeia. Jason, I'm playing this Japanese band just nonstop. They're not a new band, but they're amazing.
They just sound like you're playing fucking Sonic the Hedgehog, and they're shredding it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. Domino Line, that's the song. Look on YouTube. Oh. There's all sorts of videos. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look up both of those things when we get off of here. So is it more like a Nintendo Core kind of vibe?
It's like fusion jazz, but very Japanese. So
interesting.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
Hard to describe, but except for that way. So.
Nikki, Alex. Thank you for coming on the show. I can't wait for the new album. Do we have like a later this year, right? That's okay. So we'll look forward to it later this year. Good luck wrapping up the recording here in Florida, Alex. And look forward to seeing you guys live for sure. And then, you know, you're always welcome back on the show whenever we get, you know, down the road. So thanks for coming on, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us. Good times. And keep on rocking. Phantom power, all that.
Phantom power. It's a must when you have the powered microphones. You just have to make sure that it actually turns on. You have to hit the you have to hit the mixer a couple times, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Alex, get back to work. And then, Nikki, you, I guess, go back to bed.
Will do.
All right.
Take it easy, guys.
Later, man. Take care.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.